Verulam Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Well, hello and welcome again to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And of course, I know you right now are over the moon because the Premier League is back. But on Saturday the 20th, it's the return of the Championship too. And we are supremely lucky now to build up to that and to recap on the wonderful campaign that the Bees of Brentford Football Club are enjoying with their very own chairman and Radlett's own resident, Cliff Crown. Cliff, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, Tony. How are you doing?
Doing really, really well. I mean, goodness me, it's surreal times, isn't it? It's going to be a surreal end to this season, but it's all good. And on that note, Cliff, obviously we're excited to build up to the return of the Bees and the sting in the tail end of this marvellous season so far. But just a bit of a catch-up, really. How has the challenges of lockdown been for you guys there at Brentford? And I guess, in particular, for manager Thomas Frank?
Well, as you know, football has taken a bit of a back seat over the last 3 months, and quite rightly so. The safety of everybody in the country is being far more important than football. But of course, we're itching to get back to playing. And after a reasonable period of time, an awful lot of planning, an enormous amount of work has gone into this, thinking about the impact of returning to football. We've obviously had the benefit of seeing what other countries have done who have been slightly ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. We've benefited from that, and we're now ready to start the season tomorrow with a fantastic game away at Fulham. Thomas and the boys have been training over the last few weeks. They've been tested twice a week since they started back training. And that process has been very helpful in ensuring that very few cases have been picked up amongst the player group across the whole of the Championship division.
Brilliant stuff there, and it's delighted to hear. As you say, it has put everything into its proper context, but I know many people are so excited for this. And what an exciting end to the season it could be. If those who don't know, Brentford currently are high-flying in the Championship, on currently fourth in the league, with the best overall goal difference in the league, the best in the whole league, at plus 31, 64 goals bagged amongst the BMW trio of Benrahma, Mbeumo and Watkins, and of course a lot of the other players chipping in as well, and only 33 goals conceded. So 64 goals is level with West Brom, and conceded 33, the second best defence in the league, behind only top of the table Leeds United. Overall, they're not bad stats there, Cliff, and it tells you why you're currently high-flying.
Absolutely. We've always been good going forward, but if I'm honest, defensively, we've always been found wanting, conceding too many goals, and the improvement in our defensive record this season compared to the previous three or four seasons has been quite extraordinary. We strengthened the defence with the purchase of Pontus Janssen from Leeds.
Yeah, I still think that's one of the worst signings or sellings Leeds have ever done since Cantona, arguably. But he's such a captaincy presence, as you experience as well, too.
Absolutely. And he's formed a really good partnership with Ethan Pinnock. We've got other players in defence with David Raya in goal. And in front of them, Christian Norgaard, who has been exceptional in protecting the back four, back five. So as a unit, and with the support of the attacking players who've done their bit, the likes of Mbeumo and Benrahma have been tracking back. Ollie Watkins is always chasing to the ball and putting pressure on defenders. And as a unit, it's worked really well and has enabled us to improve our defensive record enormously while still being dangerous on the attack. And as you say, our BMW have been scoring a lot of goals between them. I think it's something like 44 of the goals.
I'll tell you what, I bet they're ready to purr through the gears again in this sprint to what has been an ultra-marathon campaign. Before we build up to that juicy one against Fulham, literally tomorrow, Fulham currently in third, but just 4 points above Brentford, so it's a crunch one. I just want to circle back briefly, because of course it's dangerous to go into championship-level football without pre-season activity. Been an interesting pre-season, and I wouldn't read all that much into it, but I'm intrigued to get your take. I know Arteta was a little bit unimpressed with his Gunners, of course, in action midweek as they were beaten by Brentford 3-2, but then a narrow loss to the battle of the stinging insects against Watford, who scored late, and then a defeat to the Hatters of Luton, who also scored late goals. Any worries in that little trend of conceding late, or again, is this pre-season preamble simply there to make sure players are first of all aware of the quote-unquote new norm and obviously rusting of getting off some of the dust?
Yeah, absolutely. I was fortunate to go through to all three of those matches, so I was able to experience firsthand the performance of the players and from both sides in all three games. And it is about getting match ready and getting match fit. So I wouldn't read too much into a 3-2 win at Arsenal or the defeat at Watford or Luton. It was really about giving game time to the entire squad so that they are ready when called upon from tomorrow onwards to help Brentford achieve the results that we're looking for. So a good workout in all respects. Mm-hmm. I think we did very well at the Emirates, particularly. I think we gave Watford a really good run for their money. And their second goal came in the very last minute of the game, as you say.
And you can't legislate for a Kapuwe strike like that, can you? I mean, it's just one of those. No,
absolutely. It was a bit of a worldie, frankly, from 25, 30 yards out. And then the Luton game, we played a lot of our sort of squad players to get the match fitness. Because at this stage, it is important that players get a good run out, a good 90 minutes under their belt. And now I think we're ready for the real stuff, which starts, as you say, tomorrow.
And it's so exciting. A big crunch fixture to get things going again away at Fulham. Final quick question before we again drill on and build on for what has been an absolute tremendous foundation laid. Just a quick one on the B of that BMW, Syed Benrahma. 10 goals, 8 assists this campaign. Very, very impressive. I think he's been involved in pushing 50 goals in his two seasons there. I know he's highly regarded. I think Chelsea are interested. A few other, Arsenal perhaps in contention. Leicester City have been mentioned in association with his name. For you as chairman, are you keen to keep him? Or do you think a super sum, which has been mentioned, would be just too much for anybody really to turn down?
We're always keen to keep our best players, but this speculation for Saeed is no different to the speculation we've had with other players in other seasons. We've got quite used to it. The difference maybe this year is, if all goes well, we might be playing in the Premier League next season, and that might just kill off the speculation. So we'll have to wait and see, but we're used to coping with it. The players themselves are quite used to it. And from my point of view, I just want Saeed and the rest of the team to really concentrate on the next 9, hopefully 12 games, see if we can achieve the dream that we've set out for some years to try and achieve.
And I tell you what, it would be a dream, because, of course, it would be in front of a new stadium. Griffin Park has so many great memories, I'm sure for you, and I'm sure for all associated with Brentford Football Club. I think it remains the only stadium in football terms in the UK where there is still standing aspects to it. So what a unique atmosphere. But it surely is now time for a new stadium. It's coming on next season. And what a fairy tale that would be if it was, maybe with a derby against those Hornets in the Premier League, perhaps.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been at Griffin Park for 116 years, and obviously it's sad for fans not to be able to go there again. It's very, very sad, clearly, that our last ever match at Griffin Park should be, hopefully, a playoff semi-final in attendance, when, in fact, the last game that any fans were able to attend actually was a 5-0 beating of Sheffield Wednesday. So it wasn't a bad way to go out. It's just that we didn't expect that to be the last time fans would ever be allowed into Griffin Park. But progress is important for the club. Financial stability is vital for the future. And the new stadium will help us achieve those objectives. And so, although it's with a heavy heart, we are going to say goodbye to Griffin Park and move to the new Brentford Community Stadium for the start of the new season, whenever that may be.
And again, it could well be graced with the likes of, you know, Man United, Man City, Chelsea, who knows, but lots still to play for this campaign. Yeah. Again, it sounds to me there that the kind of thought process is playoffs is looking most probable. But just looking at things, may I dare to dream, only 10 points off current second-placed West Brom. You get to play the Baggies at home in the second fixture. Get on the run of form, you know, get the BMW flying. It's not inconceivable. It's a crazy old league, as you know, the Championship, that maybe you could still sneak a promotion by rights.
Of course, it's everything to play for. And I think the one thing we should all appreciate is that the effect of coronavirus is that we've had 3 months of no football at all. Mm-hmm. And that's longer than a normal pre-season. That's longer than the break between the end of a normal season and the start of a new season, or pretty much the same. So I think that form kind of goes out the window.
Sure.
Which teams can start quickly, can get up to speed very quickly, and those that can hit the ground running. And obviously, if we can do that, it's a hell of a start, away to Fulham, home to West Brom, third and second. But, you know, if we get 6 points from those two games, of course we'll dare to dream of achieving the top two, one of the top two spaces, particularly as Fulham's second game is away at Leeds. It's Championship football, and as everybody knows, there's no way of knowing what's going to happen. Some of the bigger teams, the teams near the top, have been beaten by teams near the bottom.
Absolutely.
And that could very well happen as we start up again. So I think we just take one game at a time and see where we get to.
I mean, you've really explained that brilliantly. Obviously, the Premier League is the jewel and the crown, and obviously it's where we aspire to be. But I seriously think, in terms of that just unpredictability, so little between so many great clubs, many of whom, of course, have been once upon a time, and many from concerted time Premier League performers, it's so, so competitive. I truly think you could make the case that it is indeed the most exciting league from a spectator perspective, and maybe even from a neutral point of view, too.
I agree with you, Tony, to be honest. I think the Premier League is fairly run-of-the-mill in terms of the top six, top four. Kind of know who's going to be there year in, year out. Occasionally, you get a breakthrough team like Leicester, but by and large, it's the same old clubs. Whereas in the Championship, it's almost certainly different clubs many seasons in a row. This year, clubs like Leeds and Nottingham Forest, who fantastic pedigree, great, great clubs, and they're up there. And you've got teams like Derby and Stoke who are struggling, Middlesbrough towards the bottom end of the Championship, despite the fact that Middlesbrough in the Premier League only 2 years ago.
Absolutely. So,
fantastic league, very competitive. And for the first time in some 5 years, Brentford are in the mix, and that's where we want to be. And we're really delighted to be going hell for leather to try and make it into the Premier League.
And it's such a wonderful story. But I think you do yourself a slight disservice there, Cliff. And I'll explain for why. Because, yeah, it's maybe the first time in a while that the dream of promotion, be it by right or by playoffs or however it may prove to be, if it transpires, is, you know, the first in a little while. But there's been real discernible progression, I think, for a concerted period of time. I think you've tremendously managed. Now, I'm fascinated to get your take on this. I was talking, as we do regularly, on Verum Sport Podcasting with the head of comms for Watford, Richard Walker, and he had massive admiration and respect for what you guys have achieved. Obviously, post that fixture, he saw that you guys do it on the pitch, and indeed refereed actually that day. But he did use the moniker, which is often associated with you guys, the Moneyball team. This week, Verum Sport Podcasting is going to be debating sports movies and documentaries. Moneyball, well worth checking out. But for those who don't understand, what do you take from that Moneyball moniker? And do you consider it a slur or a bit of a backhanded praise, perhaps?
Yeah, I think we've been associated with the Moneyball moniker many times. And the reality is we use a little bit of it. Statistics is an important part of what we do, particularly in relation to the way in which we manage the business, the way in which we go about playing, and also our recruitment. But it's still only one part of the jigsaw puzzle. We still look at players, we watch them, all the old-fashioned stuff that clubs do, we need to do that as well. We do other things.
Character is so key for you in that recruitment process, yeah. Isn't it? We talked about ex-Leeds defender and his pedigree and his commanding captaincy-like qualities. It's what the Yanks refer to as imponderables, but I'm delighted that it still is a vital part of everything you do in terms of recruitment.
Yeah, the character of the players is really important. We spend a reasonable amount of time not only trying to understand them as individuals, but also when we talk to potential recruits, we explain to them how we believe they will fit into the system and how we can help them develop. And the proof of the pudding, frankly, is in the eating. You look at the last 5 years, and we have consistently brought players in, developed them, improved them, and seen them move on in some cases. And in almost every case, we've made significant sums of money on the profitability of those transactions. So Brentford has got a really good reputation now as a place where players can develop and improve, and a stepping stone to the Premier League. And we hope that this time round, the stepping stone will be to the Premier League, but with Brentford, rather than with someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's certainly within the realms of possibility, currently in that fourth crucial position with 9 matches to go. Fulham, the big one, though, it's literally tomorrow. They are dangerous, as we know. They are currently in third, as we've referenced. What's the kind of thought process in terms of Franks and team about potential danger men? Or is it always a mixture of being aware of the opposition, but always preeminently focusing in on what you intend to do on the day?
Yeah, absolutely right, Tony. We tend to focus on what our game and what our game plan is. And, of course, we look at the opposition. We know all about the players, the key players for them. In fact, that Mitrovic has scored a lot of goals this season. He's clearly a really top-quality striker in this league. So we're mindful of that. But first and foremost, it's about doing our job right, making sure our players do what we expect of them. They perform to their highest possible standards, and then we think the rest of it will take care of itself.
I'll tell you what, there's so much wisdom in that. And I tell you, the way that you have organised Brentford Football Club and really kind of put you guys back firmly on the map, whether it's dubbed Moneyball or what have you, it is, I think, a tremendous model that many other clubs could look to mirror. And I think if they did that, could well do a heck of a lot worse.
Yeah. Absolutely. But You know, there are so many different parts to our success. And what we strongly believe is that we need to continue to prove day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. However much success we've had, mm-hmm. we've still got a long way to go, and we'll keep working hard. We'll keep finding little ways to improve what we do and how we do it, and strive to be better each and every day of the year, and until we get into the promised land of the Premier League. And then, of course, it's a whole different ball game. But that's the aim, unashamedly. That's where we want to be. We feel that we've built a really strong squad who have done well this season. If it's not this season, we'll go again next season, and we'll try even harder and improve even more to try and get there.
Tell you what, Cliff, it's always a real privilege to enjoy time in your company. I think your own understanding of what I might refer to as the way of the winner, taking reflection, being aware of little incremental baby steps towards big picture thinking, is something that we all can learn from. So I'm really, really grateful for your time and company. And I tell you something, it's on the cusp of turning a dream into a reality. 9 matches away, perhaps 12, but the Premier League beckons for the Bees and Brentford. Cliff, again, thank you so much indeed for your time and company this evening.
It's a pleasure, Tony. And I hope all your listeners remain safe and well.